You know, it's not a secret that Christmas is upon us. If you haven't started your shopping, you better get busy. I haven't started my shopping, I better get busy. But everywhere there's lights, and I've noticed that sometimes people after Christmas will not take down their lights. I saw some people that had lights up in June, Christmas lights. I asked one guy, I said, why are your Christmas lights up? He goes, no way, I'm not late getting them down, I'm early getting them up. That's the deal. And I thought, yeah, why take them up and down every year? Why not just put them up, put the decorations up, leave them up? You're early for Christmas, right? Either that or you look pretty silly. But it's Christmas, easy to see. There's trees, there's lights, there's shopping, and oh, the joy of shopping. And then there's the sending of Christmas cards. I heard of one woman that was in a real rush just a week before Christmas, and so busy that she was going through a check stand. She saw these cards and the covers of them look good, so she just grabbed them. These will do. She got home, and she didn't even read what the card said. She just signed them and sent them off. And after things settled down, she got herself a cup of coffee, and she goes, I better read what the card said in it. And when she opened the card, it says, this is just a little note to say that a gift is on its way. You're talking freak out time, right? Maybe you haven't done your cards yet or sent cards to friends or to family. And then there's party, and then there's fun time together. But my favorite is baking. My daughter and son-in-law, they have a big family bake day, you know, and they wanted us to come over yesterday. I go, I can't even look at a cookie right now. But I love those chocolate chip cookies when they're warm out of the oven. They just melt. Warm. Praise God for Christmas cookies. But what a challenge it is at Christmas to not miss Christmas. In spite of the lights, in spite of the cards, in spite of the parties and the baking and all the festivity, you can miss Christmas. You know how? You miss Christ. People miss Christ at Christmas, and if you miss Jesus Christ at Christmas, you are missing Christmas. And just as many miss Christmas today, so also many miss Christ's first time he came, that first Christmas. And that's what I want to talk about today. Who missed Christmas the first time Christ came, and why they missed Christmas the first time he came. If you're taking notes, the first person that missed Christmas was the innkeeper, Luke chapter 2. The innkeeper. I want you to follow me in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And how fitting that the bread of life, the bread of God who comes down from heaven, was born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and the lineage of David, it was the city of David. And he went there to be taxed with Mary, his espoused or engaged wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, Luke's account of the Christmas story starts with Caesar Augustus. He was the Caesar in Rome. And he sends out this decree. All of the world need to be taxed. Now, for the purpose of taxation, they needed to enroll. They needed all their names and where they live. So they all had to return to the city of their ancestral birth. And so for Joseph and Mary, that city was Bethlehem, the city of David, because they were the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. And so Mary's in the last stages of pregnancy, and Joseph has to tell her, sorry, but we're going to have to go to Bethlehem. Now, what husband in his right mind would put his nine months pregnant on a donkey for a 90-mile donkey ride? That will induce labor. You want to get this baby born? Let's go for a 99-mile donkey ride. But God was sovereignly working to fulfill his prophetic word. For the prophet Micah, in chapter 5, Micah, verse 2, he said, "And thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the nations, yet out of thee shall come forth he who is to be ruler of my people." The Messiah, the Savior of the world, was to be born in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. So how's God going to get this young couple all the way down to Bethlehem for the Christ child to be born in the city of David? So he puts it in the mind of Caesar Augustus, sitting on his throne, that all the world needs to be taxed. This is what we call the providential hand of God. God is working in the affairs of mankind. And he's orchestrating things to fulfill his purposes. And while she was there, being great with child, they came to the inn, verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes. She laid him in a manger, an animal feeding trough. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. The famous statement, "No room in the inn." Now, when Jesus was born the first time, he was born in humility. He was born into poverty. No room in the inn. And there was no place for him to be born. So they send him out to the stables where the animals are kept. And there Mary, giving birth to this boy, Jesus, laid him in an animal feeding trough for a crib. In his life, the Bible says that he had nowhere to lay his head. And in his death, he found the only place to lay down was upon a cross. So he enters the world through a stable, lying in a manger in humility. He goes through the world without ever owning a piece of property or place to lay his head. He said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but I, the Son of Man, have nowhere to lay my head." Until finally they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he was hung upon a cross of wood, but he made the hill on which it stood. He was God in flesh. And so we see his humble birth. But our focus is the innkeeper. Now, he's not mentioned by name. There's not even a direct reference to him, but we assume that where there's an inn, there's an innkeeper, right? And the innkeeper, no doubt, looked at this young couple, and maybe he said, "I'm sorry, I wish I could accommodate you, but the inn is full." And the inns in those days were really primitive. They were just a kind of a rock wall enclosure. They were open to the elements. And so in a sense, God was providing for Mary and Joseph a quiet place where the Son of God could be born. But the innkeeper, had he known that tabernacling in the womb of Mary was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Creator of the world, don't you think he would have made room in that inn? Don't you think he would have rolled out the red carpet? And don't you think he would have said, "Come on in, we'll take care of you, we'll provide for you, the Messiah, the Savior of the world is here"? But there was no room in the inn, and the innkeeper missed Christmas. Why did the innkeeper miss Christmas? Take note. Ignorant preoccupation. Ignorant preoccupation. There was no hatred, there was no open hostility, there was no opposition. He just didn't see Jesus for who he was. And he was preoccupied ignorantly with the affairs of his life, keeping the inn, taking care of people, busy time of the year. Bethlehem and swelled with all the pilgrims that were there to be enrolled for the purpose of taxation. And so he was preoccupied. So likewise, many today are consumed with the affairs of their own lives. They're not sinful things, not bad things. But you're all wrapped up in your marriage and your marriage problems. You're wrapped up in your kids. You're wrapped up in Christmas. You're wrapped up in your career, your hobbies, the responsibilities, the issues of life. And you're too busy for Christmas. You miss Christ. You miss the true meaning of Christmas. There's no room in your life for Jesus Christ. Our lives become so crowded with other interests that there's no room for Christ. You know that it's a fact that church attendance declines in December? I've been a pastor a long time. Believe me, church attendance goes down in December. You know why? People are too busy with Christmas. Now, they'll come out Christmas Eve, but during that time leading up, it's like, I got to shop, I got to buy stuff, I got to do things, we got to get the lights on the house, we got to decorate, there's parties to go to, we got to bake, there's too much to do. Church, oh yeah, we'll get there Christmas Eve. And it's really sad that people get so busy with Christmas and at Christmas time that they miss Christmas because they forget Christ. Christ is the spirit of Christmas. Christ is Christmas. And if you miss Jesus Christ, you have missed the true meaning of Christmas. Don't get so busy with your job and with trees and with baking and cooking and plans and parties that you forget Christmas, that you forget Christ. Busy with even your problems, busy with other things, that there's no room in your life for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is there room in your busy schedule leading up to Christmas for Christ? Have you been taking time to pray? Have you been taking time to praise? Have you been taking time to meditate and to thank God for sending His Son into the world? Have you been taking time to give the Lord thanks for His blessed gift of His Son, who He sent in the world for our sins? Christmas is Christ. And don't get so preoccupied and concerned about other things that you miss Christmas. The second person that missed Christmas, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, is Herod the king. The innkeeper missed Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. But Herod the king, he missed Christmas because of jealous fear. Begin following me in Matthew chapter 2. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east unto Jerusalem. And they said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. Now when Herod, verse 3, the king, heard these things, he was troubled, notice that, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, the wise men are interesting. They were in the east, they saw the star, and they followed the star. The star ultimately led them to the scriptures, and then the scriptures to the Savior. But when King Herod found out that there were wise men from the east that have come to find a king of the Jews, he was what? Troubled. The word means he was fearful. He was agitated. He was angry. Herod was famous for his paranoia. He was an Idumean. He came from the line of Esau. He wasn't a Jew, but the Romans had given him jurisdiction over the area of Judea, and he was the king of Judea. And so he felt threatened by any concept that a king was coming. It was said that it was safer to be Herod's pig than to be a member of Herod's family. He had his wives murdered. He had his sons and daughters murdered. Everyone around him put to death because he was fearful. He was so paranoid, and he was such a wicked man, he knew that when he died, no one would cry for him. So he had 100 prominent Jews gathered together and imprisoned, and he gave the instructions that when I die, I want all these Jews slaughtered, because I want people to weep when I die. I know they won't weep for me, but I want people weeping when I die. He was cruel. He was vicious. He was paranoid. And when he heard that a king was born, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod missed Christmas because he was fearful that Jesus would take his throne, that Jesus would take his power, his position, affect his plans, and even his possessions. You know, the same is true today. People fear Jesus will rule over them, that he will take their position, that he will take their power, that he will affect their plans, that he will take their possessions. There are people that are afraid to come to Jesus. What will he do? He'll cramp my style. What's my wife going to say? What's my husband going to say? What are my friends going to say? Do I have to go to church every week? or I have to give up golf on Sunday morning. I can't stay home in my pajamas and read the paper and drink my coffee and watch the football game. They're afraid. They're afraid of Jesus. Jesus said it like this: if you seek to find your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, you will find it. There's some of you here today and you're trying to find life, you know, party after party and person after person and possessions after possessions and power and popularity. You're trying to find life, but you're losing life. There's no fulfillment or satisfaction in your heart. Jesus said, if you will surrender to me, if you'll give your life up to follow me, if you'll let me be born in you and reign as king in your life, then you will find what true life is all about. I remember when I was in high school, that was my big thing. I was so afraid to become a Christian. I was raised in the church, but I didn't like Christians. I thought they were creepy, they were clean, they looked nice, they smiled all the time. These people are just flat out weird, you know. I thought if I got saved, he'd make me get a haircut, smile, go to church, and be weird. I didn't want to do that. Little did I know that coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior would bring such peace and such joy and such satisfaction. I can't imagine living life without Jesus Christ. I want you to know today, if you're here and you're afraid, oh, these people are clapping, they're singing, they're smiling, they're weird, I don't want to become one of them. Why not? You don't want the joy of the Lord? You don't have to drink, you don't have to do drugs, you don't have to have a lot of possessions to have the joy of the Lord. It's an artesian well in your soul. Christmas joy. What a great time of the year to celebrate knowing Jesus, knowing that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Don't be afraid of Jesus. Oh, if I give my life to Jesus, he'll make me be a missionary. He'll send me to Africa, and I hate bugs. Listen, if he calls you to go to Africa, that'll be the joy of your heart. God gives you the desires of your heart. Whatever it is, he'll change your heart. He won't make you go against your will. He'll just make you willing to go. That's what God does. And what a joy it is to know Jesus. So don't be afraid. Don't be paranoid. Don't wonder, oh, no, what will my friends think? Or what's gonna happen? What a blessing that was, that one that finally, right out of high school, I said, Lord, I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what my friends say. I just need you in my life. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And I was changed from that day on. What an experience. And you can experience that joy today if you will come to Jesus Christ and surrender your life. Instead of saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Herod missed Christmas because he was afraid of Jesus. Don't miss Christmas because of your fear of giving your heart and life to Jesus. There's thirdly and lastly, another group of people. This is not an individual, but this is a group of people that missed the first Christmas. They are the religious leaders. The Jewish religious leaders missed Christmas. And here in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, follow with me. It says, when he had gathered all the chief priests, that is Herod, gathered all the chief priests together, and the scribes of the people, he demanded of them where Christ, the Messiah, should be born. And they said unto him, verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And they quote Micah chapter 5, verse 2, thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou least among the princes of Judah, yet out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star did appear. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. So the innkeeper, because of his ignorant preoccupation, busy with other things, he missed Christmas, he missed Christ. Herod the king, because of his jealous fear, missed Christ. And now we have the Jewish religious leaders because of their self-righteous pride. Do you notice they had the scriptures? They were not ignorant of the word of God. They were not really afraid of their Messiah. They were self-righteous and they were proud and they thought, I don't need him. I have my religion. I have my race. I have my rites. I have my rituals. I'm a good person. I don't need to go to Bethlehem. When Herod inquired where the Messiah would be born, just like that, they said, oh, Micah tells us that it's in Bethlehem. It was only 5 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And yet they wouldn't make the journey. The wise men came all the way from the east, and they came to find the Christ child. But these religious leaders, these priests, and these scribes, these theologians, because of their self-righteousness, would not come to find the Messiah. They knew the scriptures. Jesus rebuked them in his ministry. He said, you search the scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life. But the problem is the scriptures testify of me, Jesus said. But you refuse to come to me that you might have life. Did you know you can read the Bible and still not come to Jesus Christ? Did you know you can hear the Christmas story, know the Christmas story, and still not come to Jesus Christ? Every year at church you go and you hear about Jesus being born in Bethlehem and the stars and the wise men and the angels and the shepherds, and you know, you kind of sentimentalize Christmas. And you know the story, but you don't come to Jesus Christ. Or maybe you are religious. Maybe you have confirmation or baptism. Maybe you've been raised in the church, but you trust in your righteousness and you were not saved. They had the right religion, they had the right rites, they had the right race, they were Jews. Remember Paul, before he was converted, Saul of Tarsus, Philippians chapter 3, he said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. As far as keeping the laws, I'm a Pharisee. But he said, those things which are gained to me, I count loss. I count but refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, that's religion, but the righteousness which is of the faith of Jesus Christ. Religion can't get you to heaven. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so Paul had to realize that. Same with people today, self-righteous pride, and they don't think they need Jesus. I'm a good person. The Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. And we forget that Jesus came to save sinners, right? Jesus came to save sinners. Guess who that is? Every human being on planet Earth. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standards. We're all in need of salvation. And it's a sad and tragic day when a person doesn't think they need Jesus. When they think that they can make it on their own, or they're good enough on their own, or they've been living a good enough life, or they're religious enough to go to heaven. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, a very religious Jew. He said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. That which is flesh, that which is spirit. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be born from above if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. The only way to be saved is by rebirth, spiritual rebirth. And the only way for that to happen is for you to see your need of Jesus and to trust in Jesus and to come to him humbly and trust in him as your Savior. That's how you find Christmas. You come to Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't miss Christmas because of ignorant preoccupation. I'm too busy. I don't have time for Jesus Christ. Don't miss Christmas this year because of fear. I'm afraid of what he'll do in my life. I'm afraid of what he'll change in my life. I'm afraid of what other people will think of me. The fear of man brings a snare. But you need to trust in the Lord and put your faith in Him. Don't miss Christmas this year because of self-righteous pride. I'm too good. There's no one too good and no one too sinful to come to Jesus Christ. But you know, not everybody missed Christmas, that first Christmas. The shepherds did not miss Christmas. The angels were out in the fields of Bethlehem and they began to sing glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And the only people awake at that time were the shepherds. And they said, you'll find the babe in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And they said to each other, come, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They responded in faith. Now, shepherds were the humblest of their culture and their society. They had a caste system. The lowest of the low were shepherds. You know that a shepherd's testimony was not legal in a court of law? They were just really lowly people. They were humble people. They were the bottom of the ladder. And who were the first to have an experience with Christ that Christmas? Were the shepherds. They were the first to see Him. They were the first to worship Him. They were the first to behold Him. So we must come humbly. We must come in faith. But not only did the shepherds find Christ at Christmas, but the wise men. We read about them in chapter 2 of Matthew. The star led them to the scriptures, and the scriptures led them to the Savior. And they came in faith. They paid a great price. They traveled a great distance. And they bowed down and they worshiped Him. They brought the gifts of gold, speaking of His deity. Frankincense, speaking of His death on the cross as the priest. And myrrh, speaking of the fact that He would die for the sins of the world. And they worshiped Him. Why were they wise men? Because they came to Jesus and they found Him and they worshiped Him. Not everyone missed Christmas. And God help us not to miss Christmas this year. You say, well, John, how can I not miss Christmas? It's obvious that it's Christmas from the parties, the lights, the trees, the chocolate chip cookies, and other Christmas cookies. Here's how you don't miss Christmas. Number one, you admit that you've sinned and you need Him in your life today. You're not too preoccupied. You're not too fearful. You're not too good. You say, I need Jesus in my life and I want to worship Christ this Christmas. I want to trust Him as my Savior. And secondly, you believe that He came to save you by His death on the cross and by His resurrection from the dead. God's Christmas tree is the cross. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would never perish but have everlasting life. So God gave His Son to die on the tree, God's Christmas tree, the cross. And when you admit that you're a sinner, when you admit that you need God in your life, and you come to Jesus Christ, poor, wretched, naked, and blind, and you say, God, forgive me. God, heal me. God, help me. God, restore my sight. Fill me with Your love. Then you experience Christmas in the truest sense. You come by faith. You trust in Him. You believe on Him. And you are forgiven. You surrender to Him as King of your life, and you allow Him to be born in your heart today. I don't want any one of you this morning to miss Christmas this year. I want you to come to know Christ and to love Him and to worship Him. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead for your salvation. But until you acknowledge Him and say, I need You, forgive me, come into my heart, I trust You as my Savior, you're going to miss Christmas this year. So I plan on coming Christmas Eve. Now that I heard the announcement, I'll come next Sunday and have communion. You can still miss Christmas if you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, that first Christmas when Christ was born, the Bible says that Mary and all the others that heard wondered at those things which had happened. How do you celebrate Christmas? You wonder at it. And then Mary pondered its significance and meaning. What does it mean that God would be born of a virgin, that He would come into the world to die for our sins? What significance does it have? And then they praised. That's how you celebrate Christmas. You wonder at the event, you ponder its meaning, and you praise God for the gift of His Son that He gave to us at Christmas. If you haven't this morning come to trust in Jesus Christ, if you haven't acknowledged your need of Jesus Christ, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to give you that opportunity today to meet the Christ of Christmas. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.